And his love is so strong. His love made him do crazy things and made him endure crazy things that he wouldn't necessarily have wanted to do. This is a thing that I normally speak about when you hear me speak. I normally focus on God's love and our sin. But so on God's love, Jesus came out of his way. He came out of his way because we didn't deserve it. He came to die on the cross. He came to heal the sick. He came to help those in need, feed the multitudes, grant sight to the blind, to bring tax collectors and prostitutes into the sphere of his love. And he came to touch the untouchable, love the unlovable, forgive the unforgivable, and welcome the undesirable. And he came to do all those things, not because we deserved it, but because of his love. And a key thing in this is that Christ put no qualifiers on his love. It was not he only came to save the righteous or the people that had the money or the people that would give him something in return. Christ wanted to save everybody, and not because they deserved it, but because of his love. And God wants us to have a crazy love for people as well. God wants us to love people so much that we go to extremes to help them. He doesn't want us to just feel for them either. He wants us to be a people characterized by how much we drastically care about others. And so much even suggests that nothing else that we do other than loving him and loving others will ever matter. God's definition of what matters is pretty straightforward. He measures our lives by how we love. And a lot of times as Christians, we think it's okay to just feel for other people. Like, if someone's going through a problem, it's like, I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them, but I'm not going to go do anything about it. The guy that's hungry, the man that's going through a divorce or going through a problem, you're like, man, I feel bad for them. But a lot of the times, we don't take the necessary steps to try to alleviate their distress. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us love not with words and speech, but with actions and in truth." It's not okay to just feel bad for others. But we're supposed to take the necessary actions to alleviate their distress. Our job as Christians is to seek out the spiritually, emotionally, and physically burdened and be Christ's hands to helping them. We're supposed to look out into this world and look out for the emotionally, spiritually, and physically burdened, and we're supposed to go out and help them and be Christ's hands and be a light that's shining to them. And many of us take this God's call for us to love others half-heartedly. We take this call like, instead of a commandment, we make it a suggestion. We only love when we feel like it, who we feel like it, and how we feel like it. But in John 13:34, it says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another." They'll know we belong to God by the love we produce for others. And if we're not producing that love and we're only feeling for people, we're not showing God's love the way he wants us to. And the next point I want to give to you is that perfect love, this perfect crazy love that God wants us to have for other people, and he wants us to have it all the time. He doesn't want us to just sometimes when we feel like it, we'll do a nice thing for somebody. He wants this love. He wants us to be characterized by this love. And the reason we can't do this love, we can't do this love on our own. On our own effort, it's impossible to love others the way that God wants us to love others. And the reason being is that we are instinctively prone to sin. We are instinctively prone to do the opposite of what God asks us to. And when God says this, our natural reaction is to rebel against what God says. And that's our sin condition. And that's the reason we can't love others the way God wants us to. And a testament to that is that any of you that have kids or have ever dealt with kids know that you don't have to teach the kids to be mean. You have to teach them to be nice. I remember my little cousin Justin, when he was younger, he used to want to grab everything and say that it was his. And you see this often with little kids, they want to grab everything and say, "Mine, mine." You don't have to teach kids to be selfish, but you have to teach them to be loving. And in the same way, our instinct is to be selfish and to ourselves. And many people say, "But I love my family. I mean, I can show love for my family. I can show love for my friends too. But God wants us to have the same love, and maybe even more, that we have for our family and friends, that have for strangers and our enemies as well. He doesn't want us to just love the people who love us back. He wants us to love the people who we think don't deserve it. He wants us to love the people who are hurting, even if we don't know them. And for enemies, it's so easy for us to say that, well, if they weren't so blank, then this wouldn't have happened to them. And we also oftentimes say, well, they had it coming to them. And we don't look out for people that don't love us back many of the times. We can't love others the way God wants us to on our own effort, because we're sinful people. And a sinful people can't do God's work in the way he wants us to. So the only way we can love people the way God wants us to is with God's help. The Holy Spirit enables a crazy love, and it's impossible for us to do without the Holy Spirit. And unless we have the Holy Spirit, there's no way we can minister to the people the way that God wants us to. And we can try to force ourselves to do it, like, because Pastor Gary's wanted me to go give the guy come check us out card for forever, so I guess I'll just do it. And then if we have this mindset and we just do it just because we feel guilty or obligated, we end up treating people like chores. And if we don't love them the way that God wants us to, and how do we treat the chores that we have to do in our house? We put them off, and when we do it with a terrible attitude. And that's how we're going out into the world, and we're not loving the way God wants us to. And the Bible even suggests that even the most impressive and sacrificial actions are worthless if they're not empowered by love. Even the most impressive and sacrificial actions are worthless if they're not empowered by love. Outside of the Holy Spirit, we can't even possibly think to love people effectively. God has given us the power in the Holy Spirit to do the indescribable and impossible. Acts 2 describes it as a fire that came on the disciples' shoulders when the Holy Spirit was awakened within them. And the fire in the original Greek is translated to mean dynamite. They were given strong power, explosive power in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gives us the presence of Jesus. We have the presence of Jesus living within us. We have the love and the power of Jesus living within us. And God has described us as the light towards the world. In Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world." And we have this power and love that God has instilled inside of us. But yet, a lot of the times we allow our souls and lights to be dimmed by Satan. He gets in our minds and he convinces us that, why are you loving that other person? They don't deserve your love. Why are you going out and helping people? They don't deserve your help. And then he gets in your mind and makes you think that going and talking to other people about Christ, showing other people this love isn't fun, that isn't cool, so that we stay to ourselves and say, I don't want to be the Christian guy that pushes this Bible stuff on everybody. And he allows us to get into our minds, and this fire that he wants us to have, this fire that he's instilled inside of us, is now like a little sputtering, flickering flame that's almost dead and not good for anything. God wants to set a fire in our soul. God wants to ignite a flame inside of us that's so big that it captures everything in it. I remember the feeling of when I first felt this fire. I first felt this love in inside of me. And I talk about this in almost every sermon or message that I give. Camp 2012. Anybody that was there remembers that was a special night. But and the Holy Spirit was everywhere, and I felt the love of the Holy Spirit on me for the first time, and it made me want to do everything for Christ. It made me want to go out, and that's the love inside, the fire inside that started to refresh youth, and that's the fire inside that made me want to talk to my friends about Christ. But But like most people, when the devil came in, it's like, hey, man, why are you doing all this stuff? Why are you going out and telling your friends about this God guy? They might think you're weird. And I allowed my fire to go down. And I allowed my fire to be like a barely sputtering flame. But God wants so much more for us than that. He goes on to say, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds and it glorify your Father in heaven. The fire that God wants to fill you with is one that can't be contained and it can't be controlled. He wants to put a fire in you that's so great that it consumes everything around it. And what I liken it to is when a forest is on fire. You guys know when the Everglades is on fire and you can see the ashes everywhere and it starts as a little flame and it begins to spread and spread and spread and nothing can stop it. And the firefighters try to, what's it called, to bring the water and the stuff from the helicopters to quiet it down, but it can't be stopped and it can't be contained. Could you imagine the possibilities for a church, for a people of God characterized by this love and characterized by this all-consuming fire and what the impact we could have on the community? Could you imagine the impact we could have on others and we are so filled with this fire that we're so filled that it can't be controlled, can't be contained. We have to share it. We have to share this love. If we don't share this love, we're going to explode because this fire is building up so much. If we're a church characterized by a fire set in our souls, the possibilities are endless. If we love people like Jesus did, the possibilities are endless. How we can impact the community, how we can impact the state, how we can impact the country, the globe. The way we can impact people, if we're characterized by loving like Jesus did. This song that Greg's gonna sing, I want this to be our anthem. I want this to be the anthem of this church, that in here, we are gonna be a church characterized by our love for God and our love for others. That we want God to set a fire in our soul that nothing else, there'll be no place in the world that when everything else is happening, that there's no place we'd rather be but here in His love. That here in His love is where we'd be centered and it allows us to go out. It allows us to go out and help others and feed the hungry and go out. And when you know someone that's sick, you go out to help them in the hospital and just feel for them and be the loving hands of Christ.
So. No place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love.
I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul.
I want this to as a church, I want to ask you guys all. I want to ask you guys all to come up. And to come up in the front. We'll fill the room. We'll fill this space in the front right here. And we're all going to sing this. I want us all to sing this song together. And I want us to hold each other. That will be a church and a people characterized by our love of God and our love of people. And that He'll set a fire in our soul. There'll be an all-consuming flame. And that will encapsulate everything. I want us to be that people.
I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
Need someone to talk to, we have our prayer counselors up here. If you lost that fire and you became a sputtering flame, you need someone to talk to, and you want to feel this fire, you want to feel this love, this all-encompassing love, and come talk to somebody. I want us to blaze out, because God says in Luke 12:49, He came to set this world on fire. We want to set the world on fire for God.
That I can't contain.
So if you guys want to leave, you can leave. If you want to stay, you can stay. I'm going to pray really quickly. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you that you allow us to be filled with your fire, filled with your love. I pray, Lord, that people characterize our love of you and our love of others. In your holy and precious name, I pray, amen. You're free to go. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. And I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
can't contain, that we can't control.
I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.